Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM. Joining me, as always, is co-host Voss Larikos. Voss, how you doing?
Doing well. Very well, Ken. Happy New Year to Raven's flock. Hope 2025 is a memorable year for the whole crew. Doing very well. Good to be back with you after our hiatus last week due to the schedule and holiday.
Yeah, always these tight weeks. They do that to you. But the Ravens... in a really nice place right now. You know, who would have thought a month ago that they'd be the one closing out the Pittsburgh Steelers on the final week of the season? In a lot of ways, I think this Browns matchup is a litmus test for the playoffs, not in terms of the quality of opponent, but perhaps in terms of the weather and some of the other negative impacts of the environment that might be felt.
I think that's a good point, Ken. I've heard you make the weather comment on some of your other podcasts, and I think that is accurate. Certainly Lamar and the passing offense has struggled in the postseason in certain games in the past. Some of it may be due to hyper-specific game plan and scheming, but certainly the weather cannot be discounted.
Yeah, and of course, if Lamar can't throw the ball accurately and effectively, then the run game follows. As much as saying, well, we shouldn't be effective because we've got Derrick Henry. There are elements of that that will probably still be okay, and there's other elements of that that will not be okay. It's just if the defense is able to more crowd the box, takes away a lot of what the Ravens really do well. So that's
yes,
that's unfortunate. Got a unusual situation, not quite as like being the number one seed, but being the number three seed, assuming that's they were able to close the deal on Saturday, means they'll get San Diego or Pittsburgh in that first game. They will, and that'll be dependent on whether or not Pittsburgh, well, it depends on both of them in terms of winning their game, but it's highly dependent on whether Pittsburgh beats Cincinnati, which is basically a coin flip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coin flip, you know, your familiarity on both sides, obviously, with the arch rival Steelers versus the Harbaugh brother rivalry and the Greg Roman. You know, that's not who you necessarily want to face, a team that knows your ins and outs, but that's what you have to go through to get to where you want to be.
Are you eager to have the Cincinnati Bengals in the tournament with potential risks they could pose to the Ravens, but also with the potential risks they'll pose to other teams first, namely the,
yes,
the Bills and the Chiefs?
Yes. I guess three or four different things need to happen. Cincinnati to punch their ticket for the seventh seed, but I would be rooting for that. I am rooting for that. You know, it's hard to beat a team three times, as we know, but the Ravens, I think they're going to shred their defense, and the more home games, the better. I'm one of those fans that wants as many home games as possible, not from a season ticket perspective, just from the advantage that gives to the team.
Yep, both for me. Yeah, really want those home games. It's kind of an easy one, and we go to every playoff game, but it's a lot of, there was a large contingent of Ravens flock out there who goes to all the games home or road. And it's a really easy postseason to schedule for you. If you look at the second week, Buffalo, the Ravens are likely at Buffalo. But if not, they're home against one of Houston, Pittsburgh, or San Diego. It doesn't get much easier than that. If they happen to get lucky and Buffalo loses, then they'll definitely be at home. There's no questions asked about somebody else losing a game or whatever. They'll be home. And then the third game, the AFC Championship game, they're either at Kansas City or they're home. Those are the two possibilities. So could be any number of last teams that would be standing at that point. But it's really simple to make travel plans. And I don't know if you're out there, people who do the Southwest route, and it's a really easy way. If you've got a lot of miles on Southwest, it's a good way to use miles, and then you can take them back. There's no penalty for doing so. So it's a really good way to plan your playoff football travel if you want to.
Sure. Just on the topic of KC, they seem to be hitting their stride, much like the Ravens, towards the back half of the season. Hollywood Brown gives them that tertiary threat at their passing game, and Xavier Worthy's coming on. Just looking at the whole entire league at large, KC and Philadelphia are the two teams that I think match up best against the Ravens, A game versus A game. But I believe if the Ravens bring their A game against any other team, they have the advantage.
Completely agree. Those are the two teams. And in fact, you can include the Ravens in that group. And I think you've got the three teams most likely to win the Super Bowl right there. I think Detroit, Minnesota have their own problems, including the competitive component that will be resolved on Monday. That will be resolved on Sunday night, I should say. The Ravens, I believe, and this will be true if they follow the format in the past, they will avoid the Monday night game by virtue of being a three seed. But if they fall to the five seed, then they might have to play on Monday night, and that would be really bad. They probably will still play early, and the Texans often get that first game. But it would be really bad if they had to play on Monday night.
Yeah, I think the Texans probably get the first Saturday, just not quite the juice. And the Ravens with Lamar and all their Pro Bowlers, which we'll get into, they have the star power. So they're slated for the prime time, all eyes on me, island type of game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the way it'll play out again. And probably Tampa Bay in the NFC makes the slightly better 4-5 game to put on Monday night. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that works out. In a lot of ways, this kind of feels like a road version of 2023. Don't know if you happen to listen to the Aaron Schatz episode, but he's basically, his DVOA formula has this team only one spot behind the 23 Ravens as the sixth greatest ever in DVOA history. And it really feels like this team is almost as good as they were last year. Probably better offensively, not as good defensively, not as good on special teams, but in aggregate, right around the same level. Defense really coming on at the right time. You can make the argument that they're the second best defense in football, and I think it's really hard to make an argument that they're less than the sixth best defense in football right now.
Mm-hmm. Different composition, the 23 team. They were more stout defensively throughout the season. But the Ravens, this, in my opinion, is the best passing offense they've ever had, maybe going all the way back to Testaverde. Mm-hmm. And I did a little bit of a cursory study into DVOA and how it correlates to winning championships. And the most important phase by far, even in the postseason, even weather, is passing offense. So I am I'm bullish. I'm certainly bullish.
All right. Well, the Ravens have done it without a great passing offense before and without even a great DVOA team in 2012. But certainly they're well situated, I would hope, this year. Let's talk about the Pro Bowl selections, because a lot of news coming out of the castle on that today. The Ravens lead the entire NFL with nine Pro Bowlers named. Now, they could have alternates additionally that would go beyond that, and they've got some fairly comical alternates on the list. But do you want to go through that list?
Sure. So I guess the headliner is Zay Flowers earning his first Pro Bowl nod in his second season, the first Ravens Pro Bowler, I believe, in team history. I guess we'll just run through it quickly. Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson.
At wide receiver, that is.
Yes, at wide receiver, pardon me. Tyler Linderbaum, Patrick Ricard rounds out the offense. On defense, Nnamdi Matabike, Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey, who in my mind should be in line for all pro honors this year, and Roquan Smith.
So of that group, would you think that Jackson, perhaps. I would think Hamilton and Humphrey would be the most likely all-pro one candidates out of that group.
And Henry as well. I think Henry, well, I guess Saquon's one,
Saquon
but he's
Barkley
one.
Saquon Barkley is the problem, yeah. I think don't they have multiple running backs, though? Don't they pick, like, two or one in each conference or something? I think they have that, so.
I think they have, like, a flex spot. So maybe Henry can, yeah. Maybe that's only on defense. I don't recall. Honestly, I don't get too enamored with the Pro Bowl myself. A little bit surprised that Roquan made it this year because he's not having, in my mind, a Pro Bowl year. But, you know, we'll take the honors. Have some negative impact on future salary cap management, however.
Yeah, absolutely. So the year five option in particular is directly impacted by the thing, which affects three players in this group. It's at least three. Flowers, that impact is out there in the future. But as soon as you make one Pro Bowl, pretty good chance you're going to make a second. And that's unfortunately what happened. Oh, not unfortunately. It's fortunate that it happened to Linderbaum and Hamilton, which means their year five option cost goes through the roof. In Hamilton's case, they'll sign up to pay it. In Linderbaum's case, it really is forcing the Ravens to make an early move on a deal. And I'm not sure that they weren't already in that position. In fact, I think they were already in that position, but this makes it a sure thing because they won't pick up that fifth year option on Linderbaum. They'll have to sign him to a long-term deal.
Yeah. I mean, if you picked up that option, you'd be paying him top five left tackle money, and you just can't afford to do that with the center. Hamilton, certainly well-deserving. I think for my money, he is worth the market-setting contract at safety. He's shown the ability to do both, play in the box and play on the back end now the last few weeks. But it gives all the players bargaining power, really. I mean, if the Ravens went to Roquan next year and said, we want you to take a little haircut, Roquan's going to say, well, I just made the Pro Bowl. What do you mean haircut? You know? So it's a double-edged sword sometimes with the Pro Bowl.
Right. I don't think they're in a position. I don't think they're in a position with any bargaining power over a player like Roquan. That's that's for sure. It's usually, you know, a player on the margin that you would otherwise cut. So there are players like that. They could go to Mark Andrews with that sort of a deal. He's had a very good year. He has trade value where he is right now. Which means he has value at his current contract. But if it might be that, you know, they'll say, well, Mark, we got a couple options here. We can trade you because we need to sign some young players, or you can take a small haircut kind of thing.
As they did with Ronnie last year.
Yeah. And Ronnie, unfortunate case in terms of the Pro Bowl because he lost a big NLTBE bonus of about $8 million, as I understand it.
Yeah, I did not see him in the fan voting. Obviously, we're not privy to the coaches or player voting, but he did not make the top 10 in the fan voting, so it is what it is.
Right. Okay, and then the alternates. Now, this alternate list can be pretty long, and we've seen it in the past with Snoop as the sixth alternate in the AFC making a Pro Bowl. I think he was sixth one year. I know the quarterback list can get very long, and it can include backups sometimes. But the two that are a little strange, Justin Tucker, which, you know, if Justin Tucker were going to make the Pro Bowl every year the rest of his career as a, you know, for being the greatest kicker of all time, that would be fine. But Justin Tucker as an alternate doesn't make any sense at all. I think it's a little weird to have him there. And the other
legacy voting. And he wasn't high in the fans ranking either, which is where you think he may be higher than the coaches and players. But anyway.
Maybe. I mean, coaches and players may be working with older information a lot of times. Right. So that's interesting. Daniel Faalele as an alternate. Perhaps a little humorous. Obviously, John Harbaugh at the podium today, really giving it to reporters for saying when are you going to change, you know, to follow Lele out of right guard, and he says just starting now and everything. I think that's probably an overstatement of the whole thing. He's had a serviceable year. If he were a rookie having this year, I'd be excited about it. You know, it'd be like a steep minus kind of year, and I'd be like, okay, this is a lot of growth possibility. But as a third year player, am I really that excited about Daniel Faalele and what he did this year? I think the Ravens are drafting a guard.
Yeah, down year for guards, I suppose, to have him make it, or maybe John Harbaugh was calling on some favors to give him his alignment a little more impetus there. But I guess the other big snub or potential snub would be Kyle Van Noy. He's had a Pro Bowl year, at least maybe not a starter, but at least in the mix somewhere.
He's an alternate on the list. There's a fairly long list of Ravens alternates that includes several players. So I didn't name them all, but Kyle Van Noy is right at the top of the list of potential alternates. I would agree. I think he's the Ravens' biggest snub, but hard to get snubbed when you get nine people in the Pro Bowl, lead the entire league in it. And probably if the Ravens aren't practicing for the Super Bowl, which damn it, we really hope they are, then they could have more players there than even the nine.
My daughter Sophia texted me about a half an hour ago. Hopefully none of them are going to Orlando. They're going to New Orleans. She's 11 years old, so she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, she knows the drill there. So Calais Campbell, the Miami Dolphins still in the playoff hunt, not released yet. There's reportedly tremendous interest in him around the league, so very, very doubtful that the Ravens get him. I would think, since he's a vet min contract with only a little bit of guaranteed money lumped on that, he makes about $2 million, and you'd only be signing him for I don't even know what you'd be signing him for, because there's no weeks of the season left. I don't think you don't pay people for the postseason. So I have no idea what they'd actually be obligating themselves to do. but there might be some reason why not. But I think everybody pretty much who's in the playoffs is going to put in a claim for Calais Campbell. Maybe not every single team, but definitely the Ravens and the Chiefs, the Eagles. They have a great defensive line, and the Lions in particular are places where he could end up.
Yeah, certainly the Lions. It comes down to waiver order, obviously. Why would you not? If it's almost the inverse or the related to the Deontay Johnson, if no other benefit, you're blocking a team that you're going to be competing against from having his services. So, I wouldn't expect him to come back to the Ravens necessarily, maybe similar to when Terrell Suggs was released in 2019, and a lot of folks were hoping for a reunion, and the Ravens had a better record from the Chiefs. He ended up on the Chiefs and got his second Super Bowl ring, which should probably help him get the first ballot Hall of Fame, hopefully.
In Campbell's case, you're saying?
I was referencing Suggs.
I agree.
Campbell doesn't have a championship, right? The furthest he ever got was when the Jaguars lost in the championship game, I believe.
Yeah, it's very important to him to try and get it this year. I don't know if he's going to even play again next year, so we'll see about that. The other guy who's out there, and the Colts were just eliminated this last week, that I think might be of real value to the Ravens, or you could certainly look at it that way, is Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. And how exciting would that be if the Ravens could work something out to get him back? Because I have a hard time believing that he's like central to the Colts' plans. He's not. I don't believe he's signed for multiple years, so he's not signed for next year. But they might want to sign him, and they might want this time to give themselves a chance. But what about that?
I just don't know if Flacco would want to come back and be second fiddle to Lamar after he essentially took his job with the hip injury that. Who knows the real severity of it? But again, that's something where I don't have inside information of where Flacco would lie. I think he wants to play, and he enjoys going to teams that have an opportunity for him to start. But then again, would he want to try to make another run with the Ravens? I'm not sure how that would play in the locker room, to be honest with you.
All right. I'll just say this. I'd clearly be in favor. I think whatever happened 6 years ago is water very far under the bridge. Flacco has already sacrificed himself at the altar of dignity, to quote a movie here, many times over the years. And, having going to Cleveland and leading the Browns on a playoff push and just having to talk about, it's great to be accepted into the locker room and do this and not really trying to overlead that group. It's just kind of natural. He's been around for a while and he can still throw the football. And I'd be excited to have him. I do think it would expose some of the things about the Ravens offensive line that are not ideal.
Yes.
To have Joe Flacco back there. But on the other hand, I think if you're forced into a situation where Josh Johnson has to go in for Lamar Jackson, that's a hell of a lot worse of a process.
Yes. I agree. And Flacco had a little bit of a tough game through two picks when Indy was fighting for the playoff lives last week. But, I certainly prefer him to Johnson, not for sentimental sake, but just for the ability that he has still, even though he is turnover prone, as we know.
All right, we're going to get to the injury report in a minute here. But one of the big things this week is that the Ravens are trying to rest players, and Justice Hill has already been ruled out for this game, which means the Ravens are down to Derrick Henry, Keaton Mitchell, and Rasheen Ali. So they played those three exactly last week, and it ended up with, I think, some unwanted carries late for Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. I guess I would ask the question, and maybe too late now, do the Ravens need another running back prior to week 18? And they don't. I don't think they have anybody even on the practice squad at this point. I might be wrong about that. They might have signed somebody and I just missed it this week, but I'm not aware that they have a running back.
The problem is you're not getting much out of Rasheen Ali. He's just not breaking tackles, elusive. Ideally, for a game like this, you want to have a battering ram style back to, you know, alleviate carries from Derrick Henry. You also don't want Keaton Mitchell taking too many carries. As we know, the Ravens rested him for a good portion of the season. As I pull up the practice squad now, I do not see a single running back on the practice squad.
That is my recollection. So the Browns reportedly, and I don't know if this happened or not, we're looking at signing John Kelly. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's elevating John Kelly. He might be on the practice squad, but they've got their whole running back room is out as well.
Right.
They have Deontay or Dante Foreman, whichever.
Dante
Foreman. So he's around. Pierre Strong and their other guy, Ford, are both hurt. Of course, Chubb's out for the year now, so they don't have much in terms of a run game. And the Ravens, you know, the problem for me is both of Ali and Mitchell are non-durable folks who we really have questions about and really do not want to force Henry into even 2 to 3 extra carries this week if they can be avoided.
Agreed. Definitely, you know, we're not trying to chase 2,000 yards. At least I'm not. And, you know, if the game goes the way it's projected to go, then you want to rest Henry. But not, there's no bye. If you get somebody, sure. I think the problem is by the time you get to week 18, most teams around the league are on their fourth, fifth running back already.
Right. I mean, there are some decent college running backs out there sitting on people's practice squads who are available. I'm not saying you're going to get Alex Collins at this point in the year, mm-hmm. you know, a guy who's a real value, but there's, you know, you get a John Kelly. That's who right. is available out there. So. All right. Let's see, we got some other things happening, but why don't we do the injury report first, and then I won't steal any thunder from that.
Certainly. So the Ravens official injury report as of Thursday afternoon, they have ruled Jalen Armour Davis with a hamstring out. Justice Hill is out with a hamstring. Nelson Agholor has logged 3 full practices consecutively, returning from the concussion. Mm-hmm. Rasheen Ali, 2 fulls in a row with a hip. Charlie Kolar has been activated to practice, not to the 53 quite yet. They would need to make room, but he's listed as questionable with the forearm that we learned was Derrick Henry broke his arm while he was blocking. And then there was a little bit of a illness with Matabike, McCary, and Ronnie Stanley. And looks like McCary has taken the longest to recover. He was listed as limited on Thursday and now questionable for the game, with Matabike and Ronnie Stanley going full on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're looking forward to some of that. Now, Charlie Kolar, as you mentioned, he would need to be activated. The Ravens have typically waited an extra week or so with players returning from DTR. And mm-hmm. my guess is that Charlie has not been through the ramp-up process as much as this would be a great game to have him back.
Yeah,
I really see where you are with him, that they'll probably wait until at least round one of the playoffs.
I could see it go either way. As you said, this is probably the perfect style game of week 18 game where you expect to be running the ball and pounding the rock. You know, broken arms, either it's healed or it's not, maybe more than a strain or something. But he could play. I'd like to see him play if he's ready.
What about a strategy to get through this game healthy, just in general? What do the Ravens need to do that will help them get there?
pull the starters off the field as soon as you can. I think that's really the strategy. You watch the Wired episode from the Ravens PR team this week, which was a double episode. It was probably one of the best ones I've ever seen. Really enjoyed that. And all of a sudden, a lot of the players are talking about how healthy they are. And I think when you start to play, to not get hurt, knock on wood, is maybe when you do get hurt. So it's a little bit of a scary situation. But, you know, don't offensive linemen, don't block people to the ground.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On the heels of your teammates, and you know, just try to look out for each other, I guess.
So that's those are both big ones. They've benefited from having opposing coaches who were just as eager to get games over this year. In the case of the Bills game, in a case of it's been three in total. One of them was recent, the Texans game. But
Pittsburgh.
It's not a
second Pittsburgh game. Right.
Second yes. Pittsburgh game. So the game where it didn't obviously is Todd Bowles, you know, really still playing hard for Tampa Bay. And there were others as well. The Cowboys, you could put in that same category that they should have given up the game earlier. But anyway, for this Ravens team, that's a conversation you want to have with the opposing coach before mm-hmm. the game, during warm-up sometime. Go to Stefanski if you're Harbaugh and say, hey, you look, we're trying to get into this postseason healthy, and I'm sure you guys are trying to get into the offseason healthy as well. Let's just make sure that we wind this game down and call off the dogs late. I think I've heard him have that conversation before a preseason game. Mm-hmm. Not exactly, but effectively that conversation in terms of getting over the last preseason game done. It's a little bit different, but on the other hand, I think that something gamblers ought to know about is that this could easily be a game where it's 10 points. The Ravens could take it to 17 or it's 13 points. They could take it to 20. And it's a place where the Ravens probably will do everything they can to run the clock out and use the maximum amount of clock time in that fourth quarter.
Stefanski may have some motivation to try to end the season on a sweet note, considering the struggles they have had this year. And there's been rumors that he may be on the hot seat. And apparently it seems that he is, Haslam's going to keep him around. But just looking at the Browns injury report, they are packing it in to some extent. Denzel Ward has been ruled out. David Njoku has been ruled out. Jerome Ford has been ruled out. Jordan Hicks and Pierre Strong have both been ruled out. And then Okoronkwo, Tomlinson, Whitehart, Jameis Winston, and Michael Woods are all questionable. I think the Browns, they've had a tough year, and judging by the fact that they're going to start Bailey Zapp, I don't think that they are going to be too motivated to play their very toughest game against the Ravens and really put them through the AFC North ringer.
Yeah, that is something that as soon as one player or more gives up on defense, the rest of them will give up as well. That's the thing. So, I mean, they, if someone says, well, look at, you know, our one tech right now, he's not even trying. He's just playing with his arms. He's not even playing with his feet. You know, that's when other defensive linemen start to get pissed off about the situation and say, okay, I'm not taking any chances. Miles Garrett is full go for the game. Apparently there was talk in terms of the Know Your Foe episode from Jake Burns saying that he might not play, thought he shouldn't play and he might not. And to tie the points together here, the front office has given up on this game. In fact, the front office is really actively trying to lose it. And they, all their quarterback changes, and in particular, moving from Jameis to either of these other clowns, is really a significant move down. And they're trying to preserve a top two draft pick. And right. if they get that, they can address their quarterback concerns, and it's the easiest possible end to the Watson era to do so. Watson may still be around for financial reasons, but he's not going to be the starting quarterback, or he will be that only for a temporary situation if he's back at all. But I think the front office has given up. That doesn't mean that Stefanski has given up, but my guess is they've communicated in no uncertain terms to Stefanski, this is what we want. Even if it's just the transactions themselves.
I mean, it's tough to tank in the NFL because it's a combat sport, and you don't, you can't go half speed in a combat sport, or you're going to get put on your rear end. The only team that really executed it well a couple years back was Philadelphia, who benched their starting quarterback, put another quarterback in, lost the game, and ended up getting a higher draft pick and traded back. And that's kind of helped them create one of the most talented rosters in the league. But I really can't, throughout the years, that's really the only example I can ever think of a team actively tanking and it actually working out for them.
Okay. I mean, other 1-31 teams like the Browns or the Detroit Lions or anything like that, those three teams were not at risk of losing the number right. one overall pick.
They had it locked up already.
Yeah. So they're in that, but it's an absolute bloodbath for the number one pick right now with the, you know, teams. I think the Raiders are in position now, but the Giants were in position before and they blew it. By winning and
right, and they can't get a quarterback now. And the Patriots, I think, are still in the mix potentially, and they might want to trade back if they want to keep May. It'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, just the notion of trading back, if you have one of the top two picks and you can trade that pick, tremendously valuable. You get multiple number ones often for that pick. It's incredibly valuable, and I think the NFL is getting close to a point where they really need a lottery system to mute that advantage. The NHL has it and the NBA has it, obviously. Baseball doesn't, right? They still don't have it. Yeah.
But baseball, you're 3 years out from the draft when the players most of the time take the field. So, yeah, it's a little bit different ballgame.
All right. In terms of inactives, you expecting to see anybody else different? Because the one guy I was thinking about was Tez Walker and whether or not he might be inactive for this game to try and get an additional running back, and particularly if you have a windy game. I wouldn't see that as a great opportunity to get Tez on the field.
Well, I think receiver's probably the room to take from because you don't need to dress six, but maybe one of the headliners with Denzel Ward out, you want to say, well, maybe Bateman needs another, he could benefit from a week off his foot that he sprained a couple weeks back. Maybe. I mean, to me, it's a little bit of a glorified preseason game. The NFL, the way they flex the schedule. So the Ravens don't know if they need to win before they play. And Cincinnati doesn't know if they're eliminated before they play. So that's a way to build the drama. It didn't quite work out perfectly for the team. But I could see, wide receivers, maybe even Marlon Humphrey, potentially, if you feel that confident going in, that you are going to be able to take care of business.
I don't think you can deactivate Marlon Humphrey, but you can sit him during the game. I mm-hmm. wouldn't see him as an inactive. Another guy who this could be a last opportunity at playing time would be Marcus Williams. You obviously mm-hmm. don't want to put him back on the field and give yourself a chance to lose the football game. But the Ravens have some, a couple safeties. They really need them to be healthy going into the postseason. And you could put Kane and Braid back there. I guess that's what it really amounts to, is they probably would rather do that at this point, have special teams players, et cetera.
I'd rather put Williams back in and see if he can find his footing a little bit in case you do need him as a third safety at some point. Never give up on talent is some of the personnel men say. So that's my take on it. But, it seems like he may have been doghoused for the remainder of his tenure. We'll see.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good point, is that if they still have the possibility they would need a third safety at some point during the playoffs. There presumably would be players that they could go out and get. There may even be a Calais Campbell type safety who's not really being talked about because the position is not really the same impact. But there might be such a player available before the during the postseason if they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see. It's still moving on. Who would you look to release or waive if Kolar is activated?
I think probably Welch would be the guy, and they may need him for special teams. I don't know if they've got anybody who's close to going on IR, whether Tez Walker, Sanusi Kane, or Brady, or something like that. Oh, JAD.
JAD. How about that?
Yeah, you'd have to think about that. And did JAD practice at all this week? DNP limited with hamstring. If you close the door on him, he's done for the year is the problem with that. They can't DTR him. They might be able to get him back for the Super Bowl, but they'd basically be committing to Tampa in that spot. I wouldn't really have a problem with it if they think he's that kind of hurt. I also wouldn't have a problem at all cutting Welch, and because right. I think he's easy re-sign, and you can elevate players from the practice squad, and then you're not limited in any way elevating players during the postseason.
Agreed. I would prefer Welch, but if JAD, his contributions have been so limited to this team, you wouldn't necessarily want to trust him for any playoff time if necessary at that point either.
All right. Let's take a quick look at some of the questions from hashtag film study mailbag. I'll tell you, we got one question here that we're probably going to just answer it as a thought experiment. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of vitriol between Ravens fans and Bills fans and whatnot. And we've got a question from somebody named Rasmus, who has one follower and is following 11 other accounts. This is pretty clearly a burner account. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what I look at when I see this. If you got less than 50 followers, probably a burner account of some sort.
Yes.
So he asked the question, assume one position group folds in the playoffs. What group is most likely? Now, it's an okay question. I just don't want to, we're not going to give time to a Bills fan for this particular thing. But where would be your biggest concern in the playoffs about something not going right?
I would say the offensive line. We've seen several playoff runs during Lamar's tenure derailed by offensive line having collectively a very tough game. And to me, if the Ravens are going to lose a playoff game that they should win, it's going to take a combination of a head coach that can exploit the pass defense between the linebackers and safeties and take advantage of the offensive guards in particular on the Ravens roster. I think those are the two weaknesses that they have to work to bolster.
Okay. All right. I'd buy that too. And usually that's the root cause of anything that might go wrong with Lamar or Derrick Henry, for that matter, if he were to have an unproductive game. And Derrick Henry's had unproductive games during the playoffs, in particular, most notably against the Ravens, mm-hmm. In terms of not having a single first down in that 2020 game.
The game after they beat the Ravens in 2019, he went to Kansas City and had a really tough game too, if I recall.
Ravens certainly have had that before with Jamal Lewis in 2003 against the Titans. They haven't necessarily been able to run the football the same way. Of course, they didn't have Lamar Jackson way back then, and hopefully he's not the one who would take a downturn. But if I was most concerned about one player from a weather perspective, other than Justin Tucker, who I would be concerned about from any kind of high wind situation, it's Lamar. I mean, he is the player who I am a little bit fearful of, you know, being that same player in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think that's fair. And on the flip side, Lamar, this is the best season. I don't have the stats in front of me as far as sack avoidance from Lamar. He's always been a terrific scrambler, but as far as extending the plays, this is by far his best season.
Yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic. And I'll just be happy when the MVP voting is all complete so that this discourse here can stop. But it's certainly been, I think there's a lot being missed by the current MVP voters, with the big one being that people do not really understand the Lamar Jackson effect. Yes. The notion that he makes every player around him better. And not to pick on Aaron too much, but for Aaron to say, but Josh Allen does that too, it's bullshit. It's absolute fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is way up here in terms of, you know, affecting success rate of running backs. And I don't know that Josh Allen's ever had a positive impact on success rate for running backs. You can probably find examples, but none of the really good examples involve any Buffalo team since 2018. None of the top 50, 51 years for success rate. So anyway, I think.
That, no, I agree. I agree with that completely. Allen poses a different threat as mm-hmm. far as a runner, being able to pick up tough yardage between the tackles. Mm-hmm. Lamar makes you, you know, opens up explosive plays for running backs. That's a notable difference to me.
Yeah. It's the misdirection that the Ravens offense gives you. That's something, you know, this is a big litmus test on Saturday, is can they maintain all the value of that misdirection with weather not being great? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a Browns team. They don't have JOK. They don't have some of the weapons who would really help them against a quarterback and a running offense like this, but they still have competent defensive players and decent edge setters. And, it's a legitimate concern. And I would never take an NFL game lightly. Even this one with a 17.5-point margin, I think the Ravens are likely to convert it because they know how to convert such games. So they generally do not blow them. They're 26-0 under Harbaugh with 11.5 points plus. I don't think there's a high probability of them blowing it. But on the other hand, that laser focus is really needed even for a game like this.
Yes, agreed. Hey, Cleveland still has a lot of talent on defense. They were one of the top three defenses in the league last year. Let's go to Adam Minakowski's question on Twitter. Hashtag film study mailbag. How do the Pro Bowl announcements today affect the priority list for contract extensions, Ken?
Well, the big one, I think, is Linderbaum. That by having him get his second Pro Bowl on his first contract, he now moves up to the highest possible year 5 contract value, which is going to put him way out of the price range. So the Ravens, after this season, will have to go through the difficult process of trying to re-sign him to a long-term deal or a long-term extension, but then also saying, we can't sign you to the fifth-year option, which is kind of a mixed message you send the player. They did talk about maybe being willing to sign Patrick Queen. I don't think he was ever in the plans. I think once they signed Roquan, they were basically done with Patrick Queen. In the case of Linderbaum, they want him. They absolutely want him to keep him. But the second Pro Bowl complicates the fifth-year option. And honestly, I think it was probably already at a point where they weren't going to be able to pick it up. But now, to my mind, no way can they pick it up. He becomes a must-extend. And that probably moves him ahead of a player like Travis Jones, which is really bad because I think Travis Jones is critically important to the Ravens. But now Linderbaum probably moves to the top of the Ravens list as I was here.
Yeah, got to pick your spots. You can't overdo it on cornerstone contracts. You can't. At some point, you have too many, and the middle and back end of your roster suffers. Another player I think that Zay Flowers making the Pro Bowl, that makes it more likely that he's extended after his third season than his fourth season, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. And It'd be very difficult, I think, on Lamar if Flowers were not extended. I think it's something that he'll be an enormous proponent of. He'll probably be a big proponent of Linderbaum as well. I noticed Linderbaum won the Media Nice Guy Award as well, which it's a nothing burger as far as I'm concerned. But the reason I thought it was kind of funny was that he's the guy who absolutely refuses to do interviews with Humphrey on the plane. Right. Not the internal media, the external media nice guy.
Right. Well, he's a stand-up guy. I do think there's some value in the player that will stand and take questions after a tough game instead of hiding in the locker room. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with all these star players, you have to maybe think of where are you going to save, and is that not giving offering Falele an extension or Ardarius Washington extension potentially? A lot of moving parts. Obviously, Eric DaCosta has some long-term salary cap planning in the works, but they've drafted well, especially in the early rounds, especially in the first round, and you can't keep them all, as you always say.
Right. So one of the questions, I guess one of the other pairings would be, what do you do about the pairing of Humphrey and Andrews? Because before the season, it seemed fairly obvious one of the two of them was not going to be playing here. Now they've both played well. Mm-hmm. Andrews has not been quite at historic Andrews level, and he's getting a little bit older, had some injuries he's dealt with. I think there are probably reasons why the Ravens would like to move on earlier rather than later. Mm-hmm. Or a year too early rather than a year too late kind of thing. Yep. But they also with Humphrey, I think they're at a point where they have to extend him as well. The cap hits are big, and he's a hell of a player. And I think we've just gotten a taste this year of what a good safety he's going to be when the time comes. And I'm very optimistic about his future.
Best Ravens defender since Terrell Suggs, Marlon Humphrey, in my opinion. And he's a, out of everybody on the team besides maybe Tucker and Lamar, I think he's Ring of Honor ready, right up there with the best of them.
Ready right now, yeah. I mean, there are other players like Hamilton, for example, who will be there in time, but yeah. And if you're forced to make a decision on one cornerstone contract but not the other between Hamilton and Humphrey, how are you moving on there? And let's frame that up, because it's not fair as it is right now, because Hamilton's cheap now and they're gonna have him through at least the fifth year, even at the inflated price. It'll still be a bargain at $20 million. But the question is, would you want to have, let's say, Humphrey at $20 million for 2 years extended on that contract, or would you want Hamilton for an extension that takes him 4 years and maybe about $90 million? Added to what he's already, you know, effectively signed for through year. That might even take him from years 6 through 9. I would look at that as.
That's really tough, Ken. Can I trade Roquan instead?
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable. And
I don't know. Those two guys, they're the two cornerstones, really. And Madubuike and hypothetically Travis Jones. That's the core of the next 3-4 years, as I see it, at least.
Right. It is an incredible tough thing, and this is what you do when you draft well. Garnett West put a great thing out there about asking, you know, how would you grade the DaCosta era number one picks? And it's a terrific group. It is an unbelievably good group. That's he's not missed on any player badly. And every one of them has been big value because they've all been back end of the first round guys, with the exception of Hamilton, who's the best of them all. So
right. Queen would be the one, maybe, that you would say, because you didn't get high-end first-round production until about 2.5 years in, and you needed to bring in another high-paid linebacker to mine that production. But, yeah, it's been a great record. I think, you know, I don't think anything's really going to rival Ozzie's 96 through
2004.
After one, even, because you had Suggs and Reed back to back. Right. So I don't know if anything's ever going to rival that, but it's definitely been a really good run.
Yeah. Yeah. It's remarkable. What even made that 2000 Ravens team remarkable was Ozzie's incredible streak of free agent signings.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could have a great run of draft picks, and you know, the Steelers and the Packers have been three teams, you know, with the Ravens, have been the three teams that have really dominated the NFL draft. Since 96. But and you can look at that a number of different ways. You always come up with those same three teams at the top of your rankings. So, but what the Ravens did in that era with the number of consecutive hits they had with free agent signings was remarkable.
Yes, no question about it. I'm glad we got to see it. Unfortunately, some of the younger folks, Ravens flock, weren't part of the fun there back then. Yeah.
Adam, thanks again for sending in a question. We encourage anybody to do that. Adam's been on the show on shorts before, but would really appreciate anybody introducing yourself to the show with questions in hashtag film study mailbag. Voss and I love to do them when we have the option. Voss, any new news on the restaurant?
We are scheduled to open later this month. So we are getting through the approval process with the permitting, punch out list, menus are finalized, staffing's coming together. Very excited to be able to open this new venture, Fiamata Restaurant and Lounge, 2900 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg, Maryland. You can check out our website, thefiamata.com, for the menus. We should be up next week. So it's been a long process, and we are very excited that it's we are ready to open our doors and serve our creations to the clients.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be out there one of the first nights, I guarantee you, with some other people from the Ravens podcasting community and whatnot. But we're looking forward to the restaurant. We've been talking about it for a while now.
Thank you.
Other folks out there, hit us up always with hashtag film study mailbag. If you want to do something nice for the show, tell somebody else about it. Show them how to play it from the website, or write us a 5-star 50-word review if you don't mind. All those things help drive traffic in good ways. For Vasilikos, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.